Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen live on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But now, if you're away from the radio, we got two different opportunities for you to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. You can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. But you can also stream anytime, anywhere on the iHeartRadio app, iHeartRadio TuneIn, as they have merged. So just search for 92.9 there. You can stream anytime, anywhere. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, where are we at tonight?
We've got music bingo, Cerrito bingo tonight at 10th inning in South Haven.
South Haven, the 10th inning. So again, you can always follow CerritoEntertainment.com for all of the live events. Kevin, of course, will be with us tomorrow on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Also, he'll be hosting Writer Than Wright Trivia on Thursday for the month of July. We'll be giving away tickets to go see the PGA Tour's best, the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first leg of the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs. Pleased to welcome back after a bit of an absence, our good buddy, of course, is Tim Murray, the host of VSiN College Football's Betting Podcast, College Basketball Betting Podcast, the Betting Tailgate Show, no longer the College Football Betting Tailgate Show. Are we rebranding it back, College Football Tailgate, on Saturdays in the fall?
We are. Okay. Yeah, we are. We'll have some news on that. We might have a different time.
Okay.
Maybe a little earlier for some people, which has been asked about. But some people out there in the world are calling me Tim Miller. So, you know, I've been called worse, but broke a little weird news today regarding a college basketball game. I pulled a little John Rothstein, and someone from the Albany Times Union picked it up and called me Tim Miller of VSiN. So, you know,
okay,
maybe it's a new name going out there.
Miller's not Irish, though. Isn't that Scottish?
I have no idea.
I mean, at least like it's kind of in the same, like they're on the same island. They're on the same island-ish, right? Close enough. What news did you break?
I broke a weird scheduling news that Bryant would be opening up their season at Siena. And
how are you breaking upstate New York news?
I got sources, man.
Did you play with one of us? Okay, look at me go. Miller, primarily of Scottish or English origin.
I John Rothstein's out there breaking all these, like, Howard versus Hampton games, so I felt like I had to get in.
I did think that was my favorite joke from the Elon Trump Twitter, one calling the other a pedophile, the other calling a loser, Rothstein breaking like a UT Chattanooga scheduling. Like it really was like sandwiched in the middle. Like it was, that was on brand.
Yeah. But, you know, thinking about a name change here. So see if Tim Miller sticks better than Tim Murray. But no, I'm good, man. Good to be back. Got back yesterday from lovely Pennsylvania. Took in some mountain lake time. And now we're back home for a couple of weeks before having another vacation at the end of the month before football season starts.
Did you do the big drive this time or did you just fly?
No drive this time. It's funny. So last year, for those that recall, I think I did a couple of shows with you last summer during this month, I want to say, before you went full on
yep.
Jeffrey Wright and Company. And the reason I made the drive last summer was because my dog, who was 11 at the time, got diagnosed with cancer in, I think it was March of last year. So my wife and I were like, look, this is probably the last summer he's going to have. Kind of hates the summer out here in Vegas. Who doesn't? Because it's 115 degrees. So I drove him across country, left him on the East Coast. He got to go to the beach, got to go to the lake, got to do everything. And then the year unfolded, and our guy's still with us.
Still so, hanging in there.
Still hanging in there. And I was like, well, I can't do it again. I can't pull off the drive again. So he did not make the trek this summer. But yeah, that was a... I think I called you somewhere.
You were going across. I think you'd just gotten through Omaha.
I think that might have been right.
If I recall correctly, that
a lot of the same scenery.
Yeah.
From eastern Colorado to Pennsylvania is pretty much the same.
Yeah, that that I can buy. All right, so there's a couple of things that we got to talk about. I wanted to have some summer league confessions because I think it's appropriate to be honest with the audience last night. And as I was taking notes, watching a middle summer league game of pre-summer league, this is, you know, this is the appetizer of summer league. We haven't even gotten to Vegas yet. There are a few things that I wanted to write down and tell, and I wanted to talk through with it, whether I'm being, because I do not enjoy when people have our jobs and then they start complaining about like what the job is. So I want to see if I'm flirting with that. And you're going to be the judge, jury, executioner. If so, also we've had the Athletic. George and I talked a little bit yesterday about the top 100 rivalries, but I kind of want to discuss with you, like, what do you constitute as a rivalry? Because one of the great rivalries that's listed in the game is going to be USC Notre Dame, perhaps playing their final time this year. And we kind of had this interesting discussion earlier today on Jeff's show of who would you define as Notre Dame's biggest rival? Because I think
it's USC.
It's de facto USC, but like for the most part, like you don't really associate with them.
Well, I would say, not to get too far in the weeds, but I think the fires have been stoked a little bit more with Notre Dame's GM leaving for USC and then kind of having some, you know, jabs there. So I think this offseason has rekindled the fire a little bit more. But I would say for the most part, Notre Dame's biggest rival is USC because they don't play Michigan consistently anymore. I would say if they were still playing Michigan on a yearly basis, I think you could make a strong argument that Michigan was their biggest rival. But I think Notre Dame-USC is still their biggest rivalry game, which really poses the question, if USC cowardly drops the rivalry, what does Notre Dame do from a rivalry standpoint moving forward? Maybe Clemson will become that.
Come on in, Purdue.
Yeah, no thanks. But maybe Clemson does. I think Clemson, they added.
Battle of the Gold Helmets, come on.
They do play Purdue this year.
I feel like they'll play them every year, don't you?
You know what they did for a while, and then once the ACC agreement came in, Notre Dame had to kind of shift things around a little bit.
They should have kept that one.
That is pretty funny, though, when you think about Purdue last year, because I'm doing a bunch of just gambling research right now. Notre Dame Purdue last year. Notre Dame, who ended up going to the national championship game, and Purdue, who finished 1-11, ended up being a 7-point favorite against Purdue.
It was such a line movement that it scared me, and I ended
it
up not
like a. It moved like a touchdown.
Yeah, it was insane. It was that was like one of those like obvious ones. Now, fortunately, Purdue paid us back the rest of the year.
Oh God, they were
just auto fades.
I think like, the only like, game they covered, if I remember, they covered against like Indiana, but they were
no, they did not because that was the last game of the year and he was fired. I can confirm they
Which
did not
one?
Cover
Hold
that.
On, let me, I have the Phil Steele here
because that game was in the snow. Remember, Purdue had like already like they'd quit immediately, but like Indiana had to cover like 38 maybe.
Middle of the season, Illinois.
Yeah, that
okay. was it. They lost to them in overtime.
And we should have thought about that because Burt was going to take it easy on Walters.
Think about this real quickly, how things change. So Notre Dame plays Purdue. Purdue was 1-0. They were coming off a bye week. They had just bludgeoned an FCS team. Notre Dame was coming off of a loss to Northern Illinois. Notre Dame wins that game 66-7. Notre Dame closes as a 7-point favorite against Purdue. In the regular season finale, Indiana closes as a 29-point favorite.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame closed as a touchdown favorite against Indiana. And covered.
And should have covered by more. But yes, never give up at Indiana. So,
hey. We punt inside the 50-yard line, but we're going to score some late touchdowns to make it look respectable. That's the Cignetti way.
New Mel Tucker. I'm saving that one. I'm feeling good about it. We will get into the list as well. We've got the debut of quarterbacks, so we've had some clips come out from that, including information that Joe Burrow didn't indeed buy the Batmobile. I also want to discuss the escape clause that we've discovered. We knew a lot of the terms of the ACC's grant of rights or the buying out of the grant of rights, but then we figured out over the weekend, The Athletic did some good reporting that indeed there is a Super League clause. So I want to discuss the implications of that. We'll get into the rest of the world of sports. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. Okay, so I mentioned to you, there's nothing I find as a listener less attractive, more becoming than the sports talk host that clearly doesn't like sports or doesn't like that he has to watch sports. Are we in agreement? That's a big pet peeve of anyone in our business. Okay.
Intrigued who we're going to target here?
No, I have found myself the last 2 years, there's this core contingency that wants to get like knee deep into summer league. And I just find myself like when summer league was kind of like underground, like playing the clubs, if you will, it was fun. And then the NBA does what it always does. Anything that's fun, they overdo it. They force it down your throat. And now it's kind of become a symbol of like your fan card. If you're not watching summer league, you're not a good fan of a particular team, especially in an NBA market. So last night, I don't know how the VSiN studios looked, but I fired it up on NBA TV. Tim, my wife had the perfect description of this because I put on Twitter or X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X. I put on X that this game looks like it's in standard def, but they're just like they've stretched it out to fit high def because that's what they broadcast in. But my wife had a better description of it. She said, "This looks like when you and I watch Pepperdine games and it's like filmed from the top of the press box from like one of those cameras that just follows the action. It's an unmanned camera." And to be truthful, she absolutely nailed it. That's exactly what it looked like. And so vibes are not great. Now, we still had we had Utah's main crew. It's Bowler Jack and who's his partner? Like they do a good broadcast, especially considering like, I mean, that's honestly, as you and I both know, like that's the disaster scenario. They hand you a roster of guys that you have no idea. You're just trying to learn names. Like it's a tough spot. So the broadcast itself is fine, but the picture is so bad that it's distracting. Like you feel like you're transported back to like the early 2000s when some games were in HD and others weren't, and you feel like you're back watching the games in standard def. It's a tough scene.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, last night and the opener as well, I mean, that's some deep cut, man. That's not even Vegas Summer League.
Like, no, this is the Utah Summer League that it's basically, it's like, hey, you guys are flying out to Vegas. Stop here, play the Jazz, and then we'll all go to Vegas.
Oh, by the way, quick side story. So I flew back into Vegas yesterday morning.
Okay.
And we're getting our bags because we were gone for a couple of weeks, so we had, you know, check bags.
I don't check bag shame. There's a time and place. Sometimes it's just a convenient. And especially if your wife's going to check a bag, like, we're waiting anyway. All right, whatever.
We were at a situation. So
unless
we were
flying American, and then it's then. Well
I was flying American.
Am,
but
sorry.
We were flying out of a smaller airport, so they were like, "We'll check your bags for free." I'm like, "Whatever, here,
gate check. Here you go.
Yeah, take my gate check. Whatever." But it was funny going to pick up our bags because you look around at the Vegas airport, and I'm sure it's even more flooded today. It's just, I mean, I'm 6'6", and you're just looking around. And you're like, holy crap, there are ginormous humans.
Welcome to my world, buddy.
Everywhere. Just everywhere. You look, there was a dude on our plane who, fortunately for him, he got the exit row. I have no idea who he was. He had to have been 6'10 at minimum, maybe 7 foot. This dude was gigantic. And I'm going to go on a limb and say, probably not a big-time prospect because he went and got his own bag. He did not have anyone with a name placard picking him up. I'm thinking my guy hit an Uber to whatever hotel his team is staying at. So he's going to go play a little summer league here in town.
Because I was trying to think about this. There's not public transit to the Strip, right? From McCarran or now, what are we calling it? Harry Reid?
Harry Reid. No, there is not. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
It's like a 10-minute ride.
But God, that Uber, I'll tell you this, before I moved here, like, you fly and you land,
yeah,
essentially on the Strip.
It's one of those logistics things that doesn't make sense because you feel like you land on the outskirts of the Strip, but the ride itself is like 10 to 15 minutes.
And it costs you like $30.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, what? By the way, veteran move here, if you're ever going to Vegas, there is a Total Wine and More on the Strip, but it's like off the Strip, if that makes sense. So the main heart of the Strip, basically the main part of the Strip starts at MGM, a little bit before that, maybe Mandalay Bay.
I claim the Strip is Mandalay Bay to Resorts World, but I know some people will throw the Strat in.
Yeah, whatever. You could call it, let's just call it for argument's sake, Mandalay Bay to the Strat, whatever.
All right.
If you go a little bit further south, there is a shopping center, a big shopping center. It's got Whole Foods. It's got, you know, restaurants, etc. It's got a Total Wine and More. So if you're going to go to Vegas, you can get normal priced booze at that Total Wine and More. Get in your Uber, and before you go to your hotel, have them take you to Total Wine and More. Load up on your booze because it's going to be 9 times the price once you get anywhere on the Strip.
Wholeheartedly co-sign. Also, if you think, well, I'll be playing at the tables and they bring you free drinks, you get maybe, you can sit there for 2 hours and maybe get 2 drinks. So I'm wholeheartedly with you. And
because you go to the CVS on the Strip, you're like, yeah, oh, I'll get cheaper stuff.
Nope.
You're like, wait, my shampoo is $27?
Yeah, the Target's right there. I'll go there. Nope. No, you won't. Trust me. I co-sign this. I thought you were actually going to throw out this pro move that I've only done it with my real cheapskate friends. If you get say you don't want to wait for the Uber and you just want to take the cab rates are, the cheapest rate is to the south part of the Strip. Center Strip is mid-priced, and then the north end of the Strip is the expensive price based on the location from the, I thought you were going to tell me, hey, just get out. You know, if you're staying at Caesars, just pay for the cheap south end drop off and then walk to Caesars. That walk is a little farther than you think.
It's very far, and it's 115 degrees, and you can only stay inside for so much.
Yeah,
it's a journey. It is a journey on that trek.
Like, when you have, like, I feel like that entire center Strip is just like in scaffolding. And so, like, everything gets shoved over to one side. It's, like, now a tough walk. Yeah. Okay, I digress. So, back to the Summer League confessions. Okay. So, for the Grizzlies...
I thought it was Taxi Cab Confessions.
That was an HBO show. You occasionally get to see a pair of boobs that you... In hindsight, not great ones, but, you know, there was always the thrill of maybe.
It was boobs.
Yeah, it was exactly. There was always the thrill. So... Last night, we're in this game, and the Grizzlies jump out to, like, a 17-point lead in the first half, primarily because Cam Spencer just went nuclear from three. He finished 7 of 10 from three. But you've got this situation where now Utah makes this massive comeback, and we get down to the stretch, and it's sloppy basketball. It's a mess. I think they called 75 fouls. I'm not joking. Also, shout-out to our boy Mayshak. Fouled out with 10 fouls.
Impressive.
Nearly got the Summer League double-double of 10 fouls, 10 assists, but he finished one assist shy. But that was impressive. But GG Jackson hits a shot at the buzzer. They call it a two on the floor, mercifully. They go to review. All these camera angles that I'm talking about, there's no way. Like, whatever they called on the floor, they could sit there and look for every shot they had. There was no way they were going to be able to change it. You couldn't even tell the difference between the hardwood of the floor and the line of the three-point line. So whatever they called on the floor was going to stand. And as soon as the officials came back and said, call confirmed, it's a two, I just gave a fist pump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I don't want five more minutes of this.
We should really have ties in Summer League.
Haven't they done that before? Like, I
wouldn't be surprised.
I'm cool if you get to the knockout round of Summer League. Like, make this like soccer tournaments. Like, pool play can end in a tie. If you get to the knockout stage, like, we need point differential, whatever. But, like, man, the other game before it ran long because of the amount of fouls, and they're working in these officials that are clearly, like, in the NBA version of minor leagues, but they're trying to build a bench, and man, it just gets wildly over officiated. The game's sloppy. Like, I just found myself going, please end. I want to go to bed.
You know, the funny part about Summer League is obviously the headliner is Thursday night, right? It's Cooper Flagg versus Bronny, and the get in prices are just stupid.
Where are they putting it? Thomas and Mack?
Yeah, so everything's at Thomas and Mack. There's a side court, too, at Thomas and
Mack. Their practice gym. That's usually where the Grizzlies are. You can usually find the Grizzlies there.
Lower bowl seats at Thomas and Mack, according to Tick Pick, going for $650. Courtside, $2,500 for this game on Thursday night. And then I think the second game is Spurs versus Sixers? Edgecombe versus Harper, I think.
Because the Grizzlies still have one more game in Utah. All right, I'm trying to find Summer League.
But what I was going to say is before you find that, it's like the opposite of anything you've ever seen in sports, where there's no buildup. It's like, boom, first weekend. These are the games you want to go to. Hey, there is SGA sitting courtside to watch the Thunder. There's this celebrity. And then by the end of Summer League, there's no one there for the championship. It is an absolute dead atmosphere for the Summer League championship. And also, by the way, all the prospects are long gone. Like, I imagine Cedric Coward, I know he didn't play.
I can't know.
Is he going to play in Vegas?
I can't remember if they've initially, I don't know if they've confirmed it, but I think he's probably not playing.
Okay. But, like, you're going to get maybe one game from Cooper Flagg. I would imagine Dylan Harper, same thing.
I will say this. The Jazz, they've played twice. Ace Bailey's played, like, 30 minutes in both.
Nice. So, and maybe he will.
Now, but like here. The Jazz are in a different spot than these other teams that we're talking about. You are correct. It is the Spurs and Sixers. So the Thomas and Mack schedule is, it starts out with Pelicans T-Wolves at 2:30 Central Time. Then it is Thunder Nets. Then it is Bronny and Cooper Flagg, which it feels very insulting to Cooper Flagg to include Bronny in that. Like,
well, last year we had such a weak class that I think Bronny had the headlining game last year too, because like, was anyone excited to see Zachary Richichet?
So, was it?
And Edie rolled his ankle early.
Was it Jalen?
Right?
I think. George, can you confirm? I think Edie rolled his ankle in Utah last year, and then he sat out. We kept like, because it was like we got the Christmas present. He had a pretty good start, because I want to say he was going against Utah. Had a pretty good start against Walker Kessler. Then came back, rolled his ankle, sat out, and then played again in the pavilion, so the back gym, if you will, and then he rolled his ankle again, and they shut him down. So I think we saw like six quarters of Summer League of Edie. And like, that's the other thing for me, is I would feel a lot more excited about this if Cedric Coward were playing. But the fact that you're trying to talk yourself into, well, it's a chance to watch Jalen Wells, who, by the way, I already know he can be an NBA player. He started for the Grizzlies. Like, he's a part of it. But then you're like trying to talk yourself into Cam Spencer and to Gigi Jackson, guys that I think are going to get the opportunities to play. But if we're being real, if those guys become key, like real contributors, real like top end rotation guys, I'm not sure the season's gone that well. I guess I could hold out hope for Gigi because of his physical gifts, but I still am not sitting there going like they're carving out the sixth man role for him. But the fact that you don't have Coward playing just kind of takes the wind out of the sails.
For sure. Yeah, when you don't have your first pick and a guy that, you know, the Grizzlies traded up for, right?
Yeah.
This is a guy that there's a lot of excitement. There's a belief that he's going to be a key cog this year for a playoff team, and he's not going to play. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of not a ton of juice
if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'll say this, man. I mean, you know, looking at the roster last night, I mean, those were guys, three of them, that you expect to be pretty main role players, where you've got Cam Spencer, Jalen Wells, and Gigi Jackson all, I mean, and they all, what, they put up like 70-some-odd points
together,
I think it
was 73,
right?
Together.
Yeah, so not
but there's
shabby.
Also the reality of, like, okay.
But you don't want to get too excited, because this happens all the time.
Yes, no, I mean, there's always the, like, to me, this is no different than, like, preseason football, like, when everyone's just watching, and it's like, the third quarterback gets in against the roster cuts, and he can move a little bit, and so he runs for 75 yards, and everyone thinks, like, oh, man, this is the future.
Now, I imagine it's a little bit different in Memphis, because the Grizzlies were knocked out in the first round, and there's just general, you know, excitement about the youth, yeah, the youth movement there after the Desmond Bane trade. But I would say overall, like, if I was an NBA beat reporter, like, I know Windhorst and Bontemps and McMahon are doing their podcast somewhere in town, I think Thursday night, and I'm like, if I'm them, I am exhausted, and I get it. You know, spare me. You work in sports, it's easy. And those guys have gone from covering a 7-game series in the NBA Finals, 3 days later it being the NBA draft, what, less than a week later, free agency is here, and now the Summer League? Like, it is, that's a grind, man. Like, I give it up for those dudes.
I think
brutal.
I think a big reason why the draft coverage was universally panned is every single person on that stage felt like they just needed a vacation.
Yeah, outside of Jay Billis, I think it was like, everyone was like, oh my God. Like Kendrick Perkins, look, take your shots at Kendrick Perkins all you want, and that's fine. Like, that dude didn't have time to prep for the NBA draft.
No,
I don't know if he, and I'm not sure if he would have gone crazy all in on the NBA draft, but I am going to give him a little bit of a pass because the dude was just covering a 7-game NBA series, final series.
Yeah, it's where I think the biggest problem that ESPN's draft coverage has is they want to get their people in and get them some shine, and they don't really have, like, they only have so many draft guys, but they're not really TV guys. Like, Gavoni is, you know, think about it with Mel. How many segments during even during the regular season of college football do we see where Mel's chiming in and like we're getting hits and whatnot.
A smattering.
Yeah, and so like they don't brand them as TV people. And so it just kind of lends itself to just a very flat broadcast. We're seeing how many of these people can we make cry. All right, here are a couple other confessions that I have. I'm more excited to watch quarterback than I am to watch the rest of Summer League.
Look, I'm more of the national perspective. I am 1 million percent all in with you. Now, I understand why Grizzly fans would be excited to watch the Summer League, but, dude, I'll watch Cooper Flagg. Like, yeah, I'm excited for Cooper Flagg. I'm not going. No way.
Not at six. Like, I was trying to think of what would I have to spend to go watch that? Because.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a cheapskate when it comes to tickets.
Well, like just like on top of that, it's like there is this also reality of, listen, I'm of the belief, like, live and let live with fandom. I'm not going to really tell you how to be a fan. But at the same time, it's like it's very annoying when all of a sudden Summer League has become a credential for how into, you know, how prepared are you? How into the team are you? And it's like, man, this was originally something they just did in practice facilities in Orlando.
Yeah. And I'll give the NBA credit for this becoming as big as it is. I mean, it has become, to your point, an event. And like, I was looking at all of the, you know, because I am one who goes to all the day clubs here in town. All the big name DJs are here this weekend, right? Like, I'm going to butcher all of them, but they're all here. Yeah, it gets a big party weekend.
Is Avicii still with us?
He is not.
Okay, so we lost. Who had it? Tiesto, I think.
I think he's here.
So Tiesto's going to be. Is David Guetta still fist bumping?
I think so.
Believe so.
DJ Pauly D, he'll be here.
I'm sure he'll be at Planet Hollywood. I've told you my wife still watches Jersey Shore, right?
Bless her heart.
Steve Aoki? Of course, of Benihana fame.
He will be here this weekend. Yeah. So, you know,
who did we were at the bachelor party last summer and it was at the Venetian pool. And I was just thinking like, I know how to play like four instruments. And I just remember thinking like these DJs are the smartest people that I've ever seen. Because it's not like there's even like it's not like Deadmau5 is showing up. Like Deadmau5 is an electronic artist, but like these guys are basically just playing other people's stuff, mixing it in, and they're getting like six-figure paydays and they're flying them in and out. It's the greatest gig in the world.
I wonder if Shaq Diesel's gonna have a set.
That's a good question. That's a good question. All right, here's some other thoughts that I had of things I'd rather watch than Summer League. I'm going to go through some of the most pathetic things that I've sincerely and honestly watched on YouTube in the last 48 hours just to show you where we are in terms of the calendar. What if a modern jet fought at Pearl Harbor? The tagline got me. I was expecting, like, because the thumbnail had, like, CGI. Like, I wasn't expecting, like, a Pixar movie of animation, but like I was expecting like some rough animatics to show me. Very disappointing. It was like a bunch of stills, not that great. What happened to Boy Meets World? Great show, bad finale.
What was the finale?
The finale, it was a two-parter, and the finale starts with Angela telling Sean she's gonna move with her dad, so they essentially break up. Okay. And that's kind of Angela's. They tie up Angela's story. Then
Timmy was a big Angela fan.
Angela was great. Like, I mean, like the problem with Angela is like at the end, the show is Corey, Sean, and Topanga, and on the outskirts, Eric. I still think one of the more curious writing moves I've ever seen is when Eric went from being kind of like the sharp slacker. Like, he was more of like the guy that didn't apply.
A complete and utter moron.
Just a clown. Like, literally.
The college years with Eric were hard to watch.
Yeah.
He went from, being like a suave troublemaker.
Yeah, he was a slacker.
With a dorky brother.
Yeah.
To being like a complete and utter buffoon.
Correct. Just a clown. Now, with that being said, shout outs to Will Friedle. You can put his happy face laughing and I'll laugh along with him. So then the finale, spoiler alert for everyone that's trying to watch.
What are the statutes on spoilers for a TGIF show from the 90s?
We all have a soft spot in our heart for Mr. Feeny.
Still alive, by the way.
My God, that guy carried that show. Like, you don't realize it until you realize it's a bunch of kid actors that are marginal at best. And, like, God, he carried the show. But it basically starts off with Topanga has a quote-unquote internship in New York, and Corey doesn't want to leave Philly. And by the way, for those of you out there.
Not far.
90 minutes?
It's an easy Amtrak. Hop on.
Right? Like, this is not like, it'd be one thing if Topanga got an internship in L.A. or, we're having to move across the country. I think they'd already done the California, right? Doesn't she run away to California at one point? I want to say, like, her aunt or something.
I thought she went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, again, they made that seem like that was the end of the world. It's like, well, it's 5 hours. I don't know. Okay. But the whole point is Topanga doesn't know what to do, and then Corey eventually sucks it up and says, we'll go. And then Sean, now that Angela's gone, I'll go for no reason. Eric's going too. And then Rachel.
I have no recollection of this.
Who, by the way, is doing porn for those out there. You can check out her work.
Really?
Yeah. Maitland Ward doing porn. She signs up for the Peace Corps. And then do you remember that Joey Lawrence, Jack, somehow Sean's brother, never really tied that one together all that well. He signs up for the Peace Corps too, and then the rest of the kids go to New York. And then Feeny, the last scene is Feeny in the classroom. I love you all.
I think I remember the scene in the classroom. Wildly underrated character was Mr. Turner. Big fan of Mr.
Absolutely.
Turner. Shout out to Mr. Turner.
Mullet looked good. Oh, where was I? It was like Costco or someone. And some guy had such a phenomenal mullet that if I didn't have social cues, I wanted to stop him and say, like, that is an awesome mullet. But I just kept going. Instead, I just internalized it and just said it on the radio. Yeah, Mr. Turner was great. Of course, we get Louis Lastic as the thoughtful bully.
Oh, yeah.
So we had him in there as
well. Middle school days were good.
Yeah. The other couple that I had of YouTube videos. I can't remember if I discovered this on the show, but I don't think I told you. Are you aware that PCA, Pete Crow Anderson, is Anderson? Pete Crow Armstrong. Are you aware?
His mom is the mom.
The mom from Little Big League. Okay, I didn't know this till like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, how did I not know this? Well, somehow that spurred me on to Timothy Busfield, who's the first baseman in Little Big League?
Oh.
Lou? No, it was Lou's the pitching coach.
Isn't he the guy in West Wing?
He does have he has an arc in West Wing. But yeah. Timothy Busfield, he's the guy that plays the love interest for his mom.
It is Lou.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Lou Collins. Somehow I wound up, he played in some, like when he was like in between acting jobs, he played for a Sacramento independent team. And I wanted to figure out if he could actually throw. And I wound up on a video. Turns out, again, I didn't put the radar gun on him, but he was completely serviceable as an independent league pitcher.
Wow.
Just thought I'd throw that one out there. So, yeah, those are the depressing things that I've been watching right now, and I still would rather watch those, I think, than Summer League right now.
Yeah, played 9 seasons with the Sacramento Smokies, 30-12.
yeah.
record. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That'll
like
play.
An ERA in the twos. I don't know what his whip was, but, you know, I don't know if we kept track of that in the 80s, but, like, legitimately had some game. Those were my deep dives, and those were the things that I'd rather watch than Summer League. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some football. What makes a great rivalry? We'll talk about it in the context of the Athletics top 100 rivalries. We'll figure out what Notre Dame's future of rivalry is. We'll talk about all this when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ESPN. All right, Tim. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the Athletics top 100 rivalries. Just a couple of the quick thoughts that we had. In general, we decided we were pretty okay with 1 through 5. Michigan-Ohio State. Auburn, Alabama, the Red River Shootout, Army, Navy, USC, Notre Dame. Number 6, though, is Nebraska and Oklahoma. And this is where I, like, historically, okay, I get it. But they don't play regularly. Like, this is a Big 8, Big 12 historic rivalry. That can't be number 6.
Yeah, I would agree. It was it Scott Docterman who put this together?
Who assembled? And I didn't know if they voted on it. Scott is the one that wrote it up. So I didn't know if like a bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to look at history and all of that. But when you look at Nebraska, Oklahoma, the fact that they haven't played in 15 years, I think certainly. Is one. I would put Miami, Florida State over it.
I have a hot take. I'd put Florida, Florida State over Miami, Florida State.
Yeah, I think I would listen to that argument.
Now,
I'll say this real quickly. I'm just a sucker for Army, Navy. I know it's not the best.
No, I think everyone's kind of in agreement. I think most football fans are in agreement.
I always put that number one. But look, Michigan, Ohio State 1, and Alabama, Auburn 2, I think is hard to be anti against.
Okay, so I want to ask you the question that we were pondering yesterday. In your mind, what makes a great rivalry? Like, what are the non-negotiables?
I think competitiveness, history, and I would just say, like, general hate between the two fan bases.
Absolutely.
Because college football is so much different than the NFL. And not to say that there aren't fan bases that hate each other in the NFL.
I told George this last week. I will find myself randomly throughout the summer thinking of, God, I hate the Eagles. Like, die, Eagles, die.
But
it's a different animal.
Like, you spend all year hating that team and hoping that they suck in recruiting. And I don't know if you hope for injuries, but I'm not saying that you don't hope for injuries.
When you find out someone's a fan of that school, again, like, you want to think that you can be above it. But, yeah, you think a little less of them.
I think about one of the most brilliant, I think it was an ESPN the magazine commercial. And it is, to this day, I think one of the best commercials I've ever seen. And it just shows this husband and wife sitting on a couch, one wearing an Ohio State sweatshirt, one wearing Michigan. And it just says, without sports, this doesn't make sense.
What was the, was it
and
ESPN?
Was like,
also,
no, that's
a good one. I mean, I gotta be honest. Like, what was the guy getting into the jacuzzi? Roll Tide.
Oh yeah.
Roll Tide. Was that, I think that was an ESPN one. That's a good one. I still think the gold standard, though, of ESPN commercials, and I've scoured the internet trying to find this one, but it was a draft promo, and this was the year after the Texans had made their debut, and people still had some hopes for David Carr. Although I would argue, I think David Carr was a good quarterback. I think David Carr got ruined. But it was the Texans' big debut was the Monday Night Football game to open the season, and they played the Cowboys. They took the video of Carr coming up to the line, and then he's like, they break the huddle. He comes up to the line, he goes under center, and there's no offensive lineman. And he's just barking out the play, and they're like, what does your team need in the draft? And I was like, that is an all-timer. Carr brings his team to the line. It was just him under center with nothing in front of him.
I think we could spend a summer episode ranking top SportsCenter commercials, because it is I still the one with the Vander Holyfield.
That's a great one.
He said you were number 40 in the world in Georgia. Charlie, come out, get your whooping. Charlie, come out. And he's hiding under his desk.
Y2K one was great.
Oh yeah.
Charlie, deliver us to freedom, or follow me to freedom.
I mean, I'll still say, like, one of my favorites, and I heard Van Pelt talking about it the other day, was when it was just Arnold Palmer sitting or standing
making the cafeteria.
Arnold Palmer, and Van Pelt just looked and goes, that was awesome. And that was it.
I think the LeBron one's good. I think the LeBron one's good with SVP when he just steals his chair.
Hey, Scott, you see my chair? No.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, another great one. Do you remember when they watched the film and Kenny Mayne, it was like Kenny Mayne, he was going over like catchphrases, but like he had the yips and they once. Like,
oh, when they were trying to throw, he was trying to throw like the perfect game.
Yeah, he's trying to throw the perfect game and then he winds up in one shot, the chair's turned all the way to the right and he's like, yeah, this is not a good number to post. I'm embarrassed.
They're so, the one where they got the kid and he's like, Jimmy Key? Was he 45? I could throw better than Jimmy Key. He's just not ready for the big leagues.
Just wasn't ready. Do Minnesota and Wisconsin know that that's a top 10 rivalry? Do their fan bases know that?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they got a cool axe too. Like, you got to throw in two.
Okay, but here's the problem.
Paul Bunyan's axe is pretty
bad. Paul
Bunyan
has too many trophies.
True, he does.
Like, what did that guy do? Like, I have no idea. Did he just go around the Big Ten making trophies? Also, Ohio State, Penn State, like, The problem, though,
I mean, they've had some good ones, like the whiteout win with, like, the block kick. And
I think I was in college.
No, you weren't. It was, like, 2015.
Okay, that's Franklin's one win.
Alabama, Tennessee, I could argue could be higher.
Okay, so here's the problem. I was trying to explain this to George. The SEC has some historic games that mean a lot to the fan bases, but the problem is a lot of these rivalries are defined by chunks of domination. And that's kind of the problem with Alabama, Tennessee. It's like, okay, before Tennessee snaps the streak, like Alabama had won all the way back to, oh God, I think it was 06 when Bama was on their like fourth quarterback. They had a Pennington under center that wasn't related to Chad Pennington. I think it was like a 10-3 game that I watched every snap of, and I regretted. Like even at 17, I was like, I could have been doing something else rather than watching that. But like, there's games that have historical significance to the fan bases, but if you're just the college football observer, you're like, okay, well, Alabama's just going to win that game. And now it's maybe gotten closer because Tennessee's won twice in the last 3 years. But like, I kind of think like it's the same thing with Florida, Georgia, where it's like it feels like both sides like kind of have runs, but it's never like defined by all these amazing games. And like, to me, the other problem that I see is like, well, the SEC's best rivalry right now is probably Alabama and Georgia, but they don't play every year.
Yeah, that's the interesting one, because they do have Alabama Clemson on here. Now, it's 55th, so you're splitting hairs when you get down this far. But like, we had a stretch where every year these teams are playing and some of their games are epic. So it's like, yeah, it's a big part of college football history was Alabama Clemson, even though they don't play ever in the regular season.
The other thing that I was thinking of is we can all agree Kansas, Missouri being a top 20, right? Like, no, they've played one game of significance in my lifetime.
Yeah, the year was 2007, right?
It's Chase Daniel and then Todd Riesling. Riesling? That's a wine? Dessert wine?
Yes.
Is it Todd? Maybe it was Tad.
What was his? What was the Mangino?
Yeah, Mark Mangino.
Yeah.
I always mix him up with Mangini. I always get my Italian last name. It was Mangino. Like obnoxiously fat.
He was a large fella.
Yes. Sure. Yes. But did kind of look like a football coach. Okay, so the other question that I have, and this is why we brought you in here. So they have Notre Dame USC, and I was trying to articulate this yesterday to George. This is a great uniform game, but I still think it is a game that is more of the sports writer rivalry. Like, I understand the historical significance of it when Notre Dame is nobody in the Midwest is going to play them. They hop on the train. Hey, we'll go recruit California. They'll play us every year. I understand the historical significance. But there's just something about the fact that like those two teams are spread out by so many miles, and the future of the series, like, it's like, what do you do with Bedlam? Like, can you put Oklahoma State in it? Because like, there's got to be something about the fact that you regularly play.
So as of now, they are still regularly playing, but it is very much in peril because USC is a bunch of cowards. I just can't believe you're going to have a coach who's probably going to be fired in a year and has been a massive disappointment decide the history of this rivalry. Because Lincoln Riley does not want to play this game. Because he has not lived up to the expectations and he doesn't like the travel anymore, which, hey, USC, you're the ones who joined this conference. You didn't have to. You joined it. But I digress. The weird part about this rivalry is that we've hit this stretch where they very rarely line up when they're both good.
Right.
It's very bizarre. So since the iconic Bush Push game, which I was in attendance at, probably coolest sporting event I've ever been to. Since that game in 05, like, USC continued its dominance for the next 4 or 5 years. And then Notre Dame brought in Brian Kelly. They started to get better. But at the same time, USC started to go the other way. So it was kind of weird that this rivalry still happens every year, but Notre Dame has dominated it the last six out of the last 7 years, and the lone time USC won it was when Caleb Williams was their quarterback. So it's been a very odd rivalry recently because neither team is good at the same time, which is just kind of weird.
Well, it actually mirrors a lot of these SEC rivalries. Like that's kind of the other thing. It's like, when you look at part of Alabama-Auburn, and I would also say this, it's mainly when Auburn hosts the game. If Auburn's hosting, you can talk yourself into them winning. But a lot of these teams where it's like these big brands, like I think part of the reason why Michigan and Ohio State has, because I used to think that, like, remember what was the game of the century? Was it 1 vs. 2? It was at Ohio, it was the Troy Smith's, I think it's 06. I think it's because I think I was a senior in high school because my buddy actually went on a recruiting trip there. And it's Troy Smith. It's undefeated. And oh my God, let's play again. And then Troy, you know, and Florida just absolutely fillets them in the national title game. And it kind of exposed that, like, maybe these are good brands, but like, these aren't the best teams. But I think ever since Harbaugh got to Michigan, and really it's like the last 5 years, like it took Michigan being able to win that game, and then you get to this year, which is just the ultimate icing on the cake for me, which is that game was so devastating to Ohio State, despite them winning a national title, they kicked the tires for about a week on whether or not to fire Ryan Day.
Oh, that was, I mean, we talked about Purdue Notre Dame being an overreaction. I mean, Ohio State, who ended up just smoking, not everybody, because Texas was a competitive game, and Notre Dame was quasi-competitive. I don't know.
I mean, a couple of plays into each game. Like, to me, the most competitive game was Texas and Ohio State, down
Texas
to down.
Had the ball on the goal line with an opportunity to win, and then they get a scoop and score. I mean, Notre Dame made it 31-23 and you know, took a 7-0 lead after the 15-minute Navy-esque drive to open up the game, but it was 31-7 at one point.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the reality is, like, okay, let's say, like, I don't think it was, I think everyone overdid it. Like, Will Howard, what a throw on third downs. Like, he threw it to the outside to the best receiver in college football. Like, let's
in single coverage against
correct.
Christian Gray
with no safety.
Been,
yeah, like, let's that's on the level of difficulty that throw's not that high. Like,
Al Golden, I think, almost should have a statue resurrected for him outside Notre Dame Stadium because he was that good for 3 years. That was a poor decision.
Al Golden kind of went into a third and Grantham there. Like, you know what they'll never see coming? A blitz. Like, yeah.
And Ohio State's like, we got it.
Yeah,
you're blitzing.
We're cool. We know you're coming after us. But let's say, like, they missed the throw.
Yeah, Notre Dame gets the ball, a chance to tie.
And Ohio State wasn't exactly stopping them.
No. Going back to my point was, that week was hilarious. I remember going on my podcast, and I'm like, does anyone pick an Ohio State this week? Okay, yeah, I'm going to be on Ohio State.
Yeah.
But hey, but Tennessee warmed up without their shirts on, so they had that going for them.
Tennessee's fans showed up.
Neyland, like, North.
They did their part.
That's a cool name. I'll give them the Neyland North is a cool name.
The team, however. Like, I guess so. If you are, you said Navy, Army, number one. Okay, no problem. But it's like,
I mean, it's
the other category I told for George is if the game shows up on the schedule, like, because I'm of the opinion it doesn't have to be on rivalry week, but if the game shows up on the schedule, I'm excited to watch that game. Like, there's a problem with a lot of these games that, like, I'm like, okay, but to, like, your point of one that I think that's criminally underrated, so I'm not just being SEC Homer here, Utah BYU is in that category for me.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see Rates and Fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.